Our show today is sponsored by Microdose Gummies. So you've probably heard about microdosing. If not, just know that all sorts of people are microdosing daily to feel healthier and perform better. Microdose Gummies deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that helps you feel just the right amount of good. They really taste great and will have you feeling amazing. You can use them to help you get into your creative zone, help you to wind down at night and sleep soundly. The benefits don't end there. Microdose gummies can help you with pain and anxiety. Microdose is available nationwide. To learn more about microdosing THC, go to microdose.com and use code UFO to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, that's microdose.com and code UFO.
UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
071 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And if there was anybody above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago.
071 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Something. A UFO.
Yeah. It's emergency 1095. Yeah, something just passed over us. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911. You guys busy?
Do we just call about the UFOs we thought?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is dispatched.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, Bob, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all good and well. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. As I mentioned on last week's episode, this podcast has been nominated for the 2022 Paranormality Podcast Awards in the Best Alien UFO Podcast category. Today, September the 11th, is the final day to get your vote in. So if you think we deserve some recognition, then please give the podcast your vote. We need every last vote to stand a chance. To vote just takes a couple of minutes of your time, and the link to vote is below this episode in the show's description. Thank you to each and every one of you. We are joined today by two guests. The first is Chris from Northern Ireland, and Chris will be sharing some of the things he and some colleagues have witnessed while on Skywatches with the Northern Ireland UFO Society. Then we head to Germany to speak with Daniela. Since 2019, she has witnessed several UFOs, and she will also be sharing a sighting her father had in Guatemala when he was just 12 years old. Chris up next. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal. And if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Hello, Chris, and welcome to the podcast.
How are you doing, Nicky? All right. Thank you for having me. Cheers.
You're more than welcome, Chris, and you're calling from Northern Ireland?
That's correct, yeah.
Now, Chris, you have some UFO and paranormal experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, Chris?
Yeah, I will do, yeah. Well, I've been interested in UFOs for quite some time. And, you know, I used to think that Northern Ireland was quite quiet on the sort of UFO front, because you usually hear it happening in America, you know, that's where the hotspots are, sometimes in England, particularly in around Wiltshire and what have you. So back in 2013, we'd set up a UFO group, the Northern Ireland UFO Society, basically for UFO enthusiasts to get together, see if we can collate any reports from people who might have seen, you know, stuff that they can't explain, and for us to get out and do some night watches. And I haven't really seen anything before forming the group and going out on night watches, but we have seen a couple of things on our night watches that we can't explain. And I guess the first night watch we did was back in 2013, and we went over to Donegal, which is in the Republic of Ireland. It's quite far north on the island of Ireland. And the group of us invited Barry Fitzgerald. You might have heard of him before. Him and his wife come and joined us. And we spent a weekend in Donegal. And he was trialing this camera. He made like a prototype camera. It's sort of, he says it imitates the eye of a child. Because up until they're about 9 years old, a child can see, you know, further into the light spectrum than we adults can see, a little bit further into the infrared and maybe a little bit further into the ultraviolet spectrum as well. So he had this camera with him to mimic that. On that watch night, it was very windy, very cloudy, and a very wet, very wet night. And we didn't see much in way with our own eyes. But after the night watch had concluded, Barry had got his camera out and he replayed the video footage that he was taking. And across the way, across the sea, on another set of cliffs, there was, on the video, there was a massive, massive bright light, really bright, that had descended from the clouds and hovered there. And before taking back off into the clouds again, none of us had seen that. We were looking in that direction, you know, but none of us had seen that or anything like that throughout the night. And we thought, you know, that's pretty interesting, because obviously it must be either in the infrared or ultraviolet. I think it might have been infrared, in the infrared sort of area. And none of us had seen that, so we couldn't really explain that. And that was the sort of first UFO sighting, I guess, that I had, and a lot of the group had as well. So we thought that was something to note. Then I moved to England for a few years. And now and again, whenever, you know, work is dried up, I'll go back home, visit friends and family. The UFO group will meet up again and we'll go on a night watch. And we went back to Donegal again, to a place called Ballyliffin. And it's pretty much as far north as you can get on the island of Ireland. And again, we spent like a social weekend there, and we decided, okay, we're heading out on a Saturday night and we'll go and we'll do a sky watch. So we conducted the sky watch. And of course, you see the normal things that you would normally see on a sky watch. You'll see your satellites, you'll see your meteors, you'll see your aircraft, you know, the likes of that. And coming from south to north, there was what looked like a satellite at the time passing overhead, and then it stopped. And obviously that caught our attention. We're all watching it. It carried on again, and then it stopped. And then it took off at great speed in the direction that it was going. So that was the first sighting that night. And then probably about 45 minutes later, coming from east to west, our chief researcher, Ed, he gave me a nudge and he goes, take a look in that direction there. So we looked towards the east. And again, you could see what would look like a satellite normally stop and just sit there. So we got ourselves a laser pointer and we, you know, blinked twice up in its general direction. Careful not to point it directly at it in case it's like if it is an aircraft or something like that, but it wasn't. And it flashed back at us. And we thought, flipping hell, let's do this again. Let's flash twice. So it flashed twice at it and it blinked back twice again. Flashed back at it with the laser twice more, and it blinked back twice again. So it flashed at it three times on the third time, and or fourth time, and it flashed back three times before taking off in the direction that it was going. And that is one thing that we can't explain, because there's a lot of things as ufologists, when you go out on your night watch, there's a lot of things you can't explain. You know, it could be aircraft, it could be a satellite, it could be even, you know, a planet like the planet Venus. But this we couldn't explain. And then a few years later, we myself and Ed went out on another night watch. And the same thing happened again. We were sitting in Northern Ireland, in County Antrim, sitting in like a car park at a viewpoint. I think it's called Magara Cross Viewpoint. It's beside Dunluce Castle, near to the Giant's Causeway. And obviously, you see your satellites, etc. And we were sitting there, not much was happening. And it must have been about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. And you're just sitting there bored. We've had this conversation. We've been talking all day. You've pretty much run out of things to talk about. So you're both just sitting there in silence. And then I just randomly clicked the laser up to an empty, what looked like an empty area in the sky. And we got a flashback. And Ed and myself had both seen it. So we flashed back again and it responded a couple of times before that was it. You know, we didn't see it move off anywhere. It just flashed and wouldn't respond any time after that. And a couple of months later, which was Easter, I believe, just gone, we went to the same place again. And we got the same thing. We flashed at a random point in the sky. Something flashed back at us, and we managed to capture that on camera this time. So it is on our YouTube, or not YouTube, sorry, it is on our Facebook page, soon to be uploaded to YouTube, actually, when I get round to it, of us flashing a laser at this general direction in the sky, and this object flashing back at us. And then you can see it move to another part of the sky. We flash back again and it continues flashing, but it gets brighter. And that's pretty much in way of what we'd seen that we can't explain as ufologists so far. Yeah, so it's been pretty interesting.
That bright light that came out of the clouds and went back up, that was seen on the infrared.
That was seen on the infrared camera, yeah. So none of us had seen that with our own eyes. It was, you know, nothing was there as far as we were concerned. So we thought, you know, it was going to be, we thought it was a disappointing evening, you know, not just because of the weather and the like, but because we didn't think that we'd seen anything. And it turns out that the camera had actually picked up something that we couldn't see. And you could see it clearly come down from the clouds. It sort of illuminated the clouds as it come through. And then it just hovered there when it was below the cloud base. What it was doing, I don't know. And then you could see it clearly go back up again, back up into the clouds. It was so, so weird that none of us had seen that with our own eyes. And it was just visible on that camera. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I mean, certainly say it's not a plane.
Certainly wasn't, no, because that is, believe it or not, it is one of the things that is often mistaken for UFOs. But if it was a landing light, if it was landing lights on a plane, we would have seen it because it's bright. And the nearest airport, I believe, there is Derry City Airport, I believe. I think that's the nearest airport. This is quite late at night as well, and very, very windy. So it wouldn't have been a light plane. They wouldn't have had permission, you know, they wouldn't have been able to fly. And if it was a passenger jet, it was quite late for that airport and shouldn't have had the landing lights on at that point. But then again, if it was the landing lights, I'm going back to saying that we would have seen it with our own eyes. So it was unexplained, yeah.
When you see the landing lights, I mean, they really illuminate the clouds when they, you know, when they're approaching.
Exactly, yeah.
Not that, and definitely not a bird, because obviously it had lights.
Yeah. Unless it's some sort of bird has evolved to be luminous, then yeah. But no, it definitely wasn't a bird. Wasn't an aircraft. We even went back and checked on Flight Radar 24, and nothing was in the area at that time, especially at that altitude, you know, that low altitude. But speaking about Flight Radar 24, that reminds me of another incident that whenever myself and Patrick, and he's a former vice chairperson of NIUFOS, we went into the Mourne Mountains, which is down in County Down. You sort of have like a border along it or at the foot of it with the Republic. And myself, and this again was another really windy day, no rain, but very, very windy. And we had the like a group of Duke of Edinburgh award people camping out as well nearby. We were sat out, and they must have thought we were too weird. I was just sitting out in this wind with the tent flying everywhere, and we'd seen like an orange light appear way, way off in the distance. There's another sort of small mountain range way off in the distance. I'd hazard a guess, maybe 20 or 30 miles away, and an orange light had appeared from around behind that mountain range and disappeared. And it happened again, but this from the other direction, it had appeared and then disappeared. And it happened a couple of times, and we checked on flight radar when we got back to a friend's house, and there was nothing in the area at that time. Wouldn't have been a police helicopter. It was far, far too windy, far too late. And it definitely wasn't a plane, because there's no airports in that area that it should have been landing at. So it definitely wasn't landing lights, especially when they're orange. That was another incident we couldn't explain either. Yeah.
There's a lot of weird things up there in the sky, Chris.
Yeah, there definitely is a lot of unexplainable things that we've seen before. And yeah, you know, it just takes you, I can almost guarantee that if somebody does take the time to go out and look up and spend a few hours outside, you'll see loads of things. You'll see your satellites, you'll see your meteors, you'll see your planes, etc. And you will get to know what they are eventually if you're not too well versed in them. But then you will see things that you will not be able to explain. You can go through Flight Radar 24. You can ask the Met Office all these questions. And, you know, if they get back to you, you know, you can sort of rule out any, I guess, for want of a better term, a rational explanation. Yeah, you can easily rule them out. And it's well worth it. I do recommend anyone listening to get out. If you don't do it often, just get out and look up, especially on a clear night, for a couple of hours and just see what you see. Yeah.
It's amazing what you'd see. And of course, all the tools are out there, you know, all the apps and programs. And like I said, the Flight Radar is a wonderful website, wonderful app to use if you're unsure. Even if you're unsure of what the particular type of plane is, it's great. But yeah, all the tools are out there. And I think more people should get out, go to Skywatches. Talking about Skywatches, how often do you guys do yours?
So we pencil it in for every, we're aiming for two every season. So two in the winter, two in spring, summer, etc. So we try and aim for that. We don't always get that because we're all working people. So, you know, Rodney, for example, our vice chairperson, he's a driving instructor. So he might have, you know, last minute bookings throughout the day. And then, you know, obviously he'll be tired. Ed, our chief investigator, you know, he works at Derry City Airport as security, and then I work as a drone pilot as well in England. So it's whenever I get home, you know, that's when I can personally get out with the group as well. But, you know, we pencil it in two per season, and if we don't get a watch night in, then we'd either try to move it to another time or just cancel it completely. But we meet up as a group, be it virtually or in person, once every 6 weeks.
And are members of the public able to come along and join the Skywatches?
Normally not, no, but there are some times where we will extend that invite for members of the public, mainly just to spark interest. You know, people who have an interest in UFOs, etc., to come out and actually witness what a watch night is like. If they want to join us, then they can. That option is there. Or if they just fancy coming out to see what a watch night's all about, then yeah, you know, sometimes we'll allow them to come out with us for that. Yeah.
Wonderful. And you don't just only deal with UFOs, you deal with the paranormal, you go on cases.
Yeah, well, not quite on paranormal cases. Now, one of the things that NIUFOS was formed for was not just because of, you know, UFOs, it's to try and find a metaphysical link between ufology and the paranormal, which I believe so strongly there is. Because whenever I was a kid, when I was growing up, I used to believe in the paranormal and believe in UFOs and treat them as separate things. But as I got older and did more research into it, I could see that there was like a metaphysical link. So that's one of the reasons why we were established for that. But talking of the paranormal, there's a group in around here based in Belfast called Shadowhunters Northern Ireland. And it's run by a man called Fra McDonald. And they get out quite regularly to go on paranormal investigations. And they invited our group out with them one evening. I think it was Boxing Day, or, you know, the evening after Boxing Day. It was after Christmas anyway, before the new year. They were like, hey, do you want to come to the Crumlin Road Jail in Belfast for a paranormal investigation? I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, of course I want to go on that. So myself, Ed, and Janice were available that night, and we went to go around with them, the Crumlin Road Gaol. And I'll tell you what, it's a really creepy, really creepy place. I've been with Shadowhunters on some of their investigations before and after that, but as a group we went out with them. And there's one of the points we were down in, I think it's D-Wing, which is meant to be one of the more active areas because that's where the worst of the worst was kept. And we were down there doing experiments, like an Estes experiment, Estes method, which is basically you're deprived of your senses and you've got noise-cancelling headphones on and you're listening to white noise, or you're listening to a spirit box, and whatever voice comes through or whatever words come through, you speak it out loud. And what you can't hear is the rest of the group are randomly asking questions. And I would say 9 times out of 10, the words that you speak relate to the question they've just asked, or it's giving them a direct answer. Like an example, how many people are here? And you might just say that 9, you know, the number 9. And you're sat with these headphones on and you're calling out these words and you think, this makes no sense whatsoever. You know, I'm just talking nonsense. I'm just waffling random words. But yeah, a lot of the words that you come out with relate to the questions that they're asking. And when you're down there as well, doing other experiments, we all heard like heavy boot, you know, footsteps way, way down the bottom of the wing. And we could hear whistling as well. And there's nobody else in the prison. The security guards won't come into the prison at nighttime. They don't do that. And so it was just our group. And we could hear the heavy boots walking down one of the wings and whistling. We heard a door slam shut in one of the upper wings whenever we were down in the coffin room. The coffin room is, well, basically a room with a coffin in it. It's right beside where the gallows would have been, indoor gallows, where the condemned man would have been led into the, you know, the hanging room and then dropped through the floor. And then next, on the below ground level, next to the bit, next to the room where the condemned prisoner would drop into, that's where the coffin room would have been. That's very active as well. And we could hear this really heavy prison door slam shut upstairs, up in one of the wings. And we got this phantom smell as well. It was very floral and it would come and go. And we checked whether anyone had, you know, perfume on them or anything like that. So nobody had perfume on them. I even thought the females might have had some sort of on them, but no, they didn't. So that smell would come and go. And the shadow hunters, who were regular investigators there, hadn't encountered that before either. Another thing that we encountered in the hanging room is one of the lead weights that was used to open the trap door. That's all still there. It was swinging in a clockwise direction whenever we went into that room. And it wouldn't stop. And we stood and we watched it just swing and swing and swing. So we went to the other side of the room and there's another lead weight there and it was stationary. It was still. So we tried to mimic what was happening on the other side. So we swung the weight round in a circle and eventually it grew, you know, it would circle tighter and tighter and tighter before it would stop. The other weight was still going round clockwise. Again, the shadow hunters had never seen that before. We stopped it to see if it would start again. And that was it. You know, it stopped. It wouldn't start again. And there's a couple of things that happened that night as well, actually, which I'm just trying to remember. I think another one was whenever we were in the boiler room doing another Estes experiment in there. I was sat down around the table whenever people were asking questions. What looked like the top of somebody's head lit up by the moon? I would say like a mop of grey hair is the best way I could describe it, just partially, maybe 5 centimeters in depth, float across one end of the room to the other. And I'd seen it move at the corner of my eye, and then I turned to look at it and I could see it clearly, you know, move from one end of the room to the other before disappearing somewhere. That is the first and last sort of ghostly encounter that I'd seen before. And I need to ask Fra whether that was picked up in camera, because there's a load of cameras pointing down that way as well. So I need to actually confirm whether that was picked up on the camera. But yeah, so even as UFO investigators, we went on a paranormal investigation and we were not disappointed. Weren't disappointed at all, no.
Very active place, but then again, prisons usually are.
They normally are. Whenever I spoke to Bra, he's more of an expert in the paranormal, obviously, than I would be. And he would tell us that there's regular spirits there who will come and go. Like the last man to be hung in Northern Ireland, Robert McLattery. He will make you know, appearances quite often. There's another entity there which doesn't tend to like females, which is known as Sid. And then it's right, the prison's right beside the Mater Hospital, which is next door. And, you know, Fra, who is... he doesn't describe himself as a medium, but he's sensitive to these energies. There's quite a few people in that group that are quite sensitive to these energies. They are aware of spirits having passed away in the hospital, coming over into the prison and doing visits. You know, they'll visit and then they'll go back from whence they came, back to the Mater Hospital.
So what really got you into all this before you started investigating? Had you had experiences beforehand?
And UFO-wise?
Either.
Either, yeah. Well, I hadn't really had any paranormal encounters or UFO encounters when I was younger. But when I was young, I think what spawned my interest in UFOs and the possibility of extraterrestrials, it was back when I was about 5-6 years old, I think. My uncle Darren, he had loaned me a VHS of The Empire Strikes Back, a copy before George Lucas released the silver and gold editions, like a remastered sort of edition for that time. And I remember watching The Empire Strikes Back, and I was fascinated, even as a 4 or 5 year old, I was fascinated with the concept of life, extraterrestrials, aliens elsewhere. And I think that's what sort of captivated me and spawned my interest in it. But even then, even from about 3 or 4 years old, I was fascinated with the stars. And I knew this because back, this must be 94. If I hazard a guess, I'd say 94. Northern Ireland was quite turbulent. It was the tail end of the Troubles back then. And there was a pub shooting up the road. One of the loyalist paramilitaries had shot up a nationalist sort of owned bar just up the road from us. And my next door neighbour had knocked on our door, obviously, you know, to tell us that, oh, this is what happened. And there's a car burning out just outside the village. You know, it's a car that's on fire outside the village. And as the neighbours were talking about, you know, my family and the neighbours were all talking about it, because this is a big thing to happen in a quiet, sleepy village. I remember looking up at the sky and it was nighttime and I could see the stars and what have you. And I sort of filtered out what they were talking about and just focused on the sky. And I'd seen something move across the sky. Now, as a kid, I thought, oh, well, that's a shooting star. But looking back on it now, it was a satellite, you know. So that's my earliest memory. One of my earliest memories, and it happens to be me looking up at the sky, being fascinated by what I've just seen. And from that point onwards, you know, it's been a dormant interest. It's been, you know, I've always had an interest sort of from that and watching Star Wars for the first time. And it wasn't until 2013 where I was doing all this research, and a friend of mine who was also interested in UFOs and that sort of stuff, we decided we'd start a group in Northern Ireland. Well, first we started looking for a group in Northern Ireland to see if we could join it. And there was no such group, or none that we could find anyway. So we thought, well, the next best thing to that then is to start our own group. And it's basically, it went from there.
Sometimes it's the best way. You can't find one, start your own.
Well, yeah, that's it. You know, if you can't find one, then yeah, start your own. And of course, it was a little bit slow to start off with. You know, our main way to advertise was through Facebook at that time. And, you know, we started meetings, and there was a lot of people who said they would come to meetings and meet up with us, and they didn't, you know. But then it took off, yeah. We've even featured on some TV programs, albeit very briefly, and a lot of newspapers and radio shows would have contacted us for our opinion on one thing or another. So, yeah, it's really taken off, and next year is our 10-year anniversary. So I have to try and do something special for it.
Exactly. Congratulations. That'd be 10 years. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for a group. And do you have a YouTube channel, a Facebook?
Yeah, we have a YouTube channel. It's Northern Ireland UFO Society. Search for it. On it, we've got some video footage that's been submitted to us by, you know, witnesses that featured on Craig Charles's UFO conspiracies, I think it's UFO conspiracies. It was on it. They asked permission to use those videos. You know, we said, yeah, it's in the public domain. Crack on. Do what you need to do. And yeah, we do have a Facebook page. Basically, again, just search for Northern Ireland UFO Society and you should be able to find us. Yeah.
Good stuff. So what do you have on the horizon?
So looking ahead. So we're looking to organise a summer social again. It'll be the first one since 2018, I think, maybe 2019. Obviously, whenever COVID had all kicked off, it stopped us meeting up, etc. So I want to make an extra special summer social weekend. We've got that coming up. And again, next year is our big 10-year anniversary. So we want to try and do something special for it, whether it's like a live streamed watch night, or, you know, just have a gathering of non-members, etc., just to, you know, just to celebrate, you know, our existence and the world of ufology, because it's open to anyone, really. You know, you don't have to be in a group to get out there and watch. And yeah, and whatever else comes from that, we'll see. Again, it's been an exciting journey. We've met a load of interesting people. We've seen some things that we can't explain. And, you know, we just go with the flow. Whatever comes, whatever opportunity arises, we'll grasp it and see where it takes us.
What does up all your links in the show notes for the listeners, because I do have some many wonderful listeners from Northern Ireland. So people can follow you, check you out and see what you've got going on.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, that'd be great.
Chris, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you for having me. It's been fantastic. And it's an honor to be asked to come on to your show. It really is. So thank you very much for having me.
Wonderful. Okay, Chris. It's great talking to you today. And take care. And I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Again, thank you for having me. And hopefully, again, talk to you soon, Matt.
Talk to you soon. Thanks, Chris.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Hello, Daniela, and welcome to the show.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on today.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. And you're calling from Berlin, Germany.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Our first ever guest from Germany. Now, you have some UFO science to share with us. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please?
Yes, of course. So my first sighting was in 2019. And I was traveling with a colleague to a place named Gülpe that's near or in Brandenburg. I'm living near Berlin. And Brandenburg is more on the outside, so you don't have much light pollution and no many people out there. So you can watch the stars and the Milky Way and everything. So that was the reason why we went outside. And there's a National Dark Sky Park, I think it's called. Right. And that was the reason why we went to this place. And the first night, I think we were staying 3 nights. And the first night we went with his car on a field because we had good weather. It was not cloudy. And yeah, we were able to see the Milky Way and everything. It was really beautiful. And I don't know why, but I always had this passion to see the night sky and everything. It always fascinated me my whole life. But I don't know why exactly. It was always a part of me. So, and when we were sitting in his car, we were watching the night sky from there, and we saw something like a satellite, but it suddenly stopped and then was like hovering over our heads. And it really looked like a star or a satellite, just an object that was like far, far away in the sky. Yeah, it stopped and then it started to fly again, but like it was drunk or so, like in really weird, not in a straight line, but yeah, I don't know the vocabulary. It went from there to there to there to there, and then it stopped again, and then it really flew like a zigzag movement, and really in a few seconds and really fast. And we both saw the same thing and we thought, oh my God, what's that? Because at first I told him that must be a satellite. It can't be anything else. It can't be an airplane or a drone or something. But the way it flew, it was just, I don't know, we were just stunned by seeing it. And after the zigzag flight, it hovered again. It didn't move and we didn't hear any sounds, like everyone says. So it was no airplane or everything or anything. And then it hovered there. And in 1 second, I'm not kidding, yeah? In 1 second, it flew from one point in the night sky far, far away to another one. And then it was there and hovering there. So it was really, and I mean, I have a witness with me. I otherwise would have thought that I just, I don't know, just see some crazy things. But I mean, we both saw it and we were just, we didn't know what to think about that. So, and none of us was earlier into UFOs or anything. Yeah, and then it hovered there. Then it got a little bit brighter and almost disappeared. So it went so dark, darker, and almost disappeared, and then went brighter again. And then somehow we just got lost sight of it, or how do you say? Yeah, and then we didn't see it. Yeah, and then I mean we were staying 3 days there in Gürtel, but the other 2 nights it was really cloudy and we didn't see anything, unfortunately. Yeah, and then we went home. He lives in Munich and I live in Berlin. So we didn't see each other for quite a while. And somehow we forgot about this case. We forgot about what we saw and that it was weird somehow. And then maybe 1 year after that, I suddenly remembered what we were seeing there and that it was so weird that I started to do some research about the UFO topics. And yeah, since then, I was watching the sky when I was like going home after my work or going to my work or when I'm meeting friends. I always started to look up in the skies just because I was hoping that I might see something again. And since I'm paying so much more attention to it, I started to see some things that are like really crazy, and I don't know, maybe sometimes they are not UFOs, maybe sometimes they are really weather balloons or anything. I don't think that everything that I see or saw the last 2 years were really UFOs, but yeah, I don't know. Another case was when I was sitting with a colleague of mine or a friend in the park next to the area where I'm living. And we were sitting there and it was a sunny day. And she was talking to me and I was listening and I was watching the lake because we were sitting at the lake there that day. And there were many boats floating on the lake. And then suddenly, I swear, there was just an appearing orb that flew a few seconds. It was really far away, but I saw it. It was a glowing white ball and it just appeared out of nowhere in the middle of the lake. And when it flew, it had like a tail of light that was flowing after it. I can't explain it so good. But it was so weird. And then after a few seconds, it disappeared. And I mean, it was there was no boat in that area. It couldn't be a reflection or anything. And it couldn't be like an insect. Sometimes those insects are reflecting the sunlight. So sometimes you think, oh, maybe that's also an orb or anything. It happened to me also sometimes, which is kind of embarrassing because sometimes I'm recording things and then after that I just look at it after it and then I realize that it might just be a bug or anything. So, but this was really different from those bugs I sometimes see. I don't know. Yeah, and in that moment I got so irritated because I was realizing what I was seeing there, or I thought what I was seeing there. And she was like, are you okay? Are you still listening to me? And I couldn't explain to her because normally I don't talk to people about this except for the the colleague that went for me, that went with me to Goethe back then, I can talk to him because we both saw the same things. But usually you can't talk to people about it because they all think you're just crazy or you're losing your mind or you're one of those crazy UFO people or I don't know. So yeah, I had to look for an explanation where I was like, had this blank mind. Yeah, that was kind of funny. And another case was when I was sitting. That's really crazy because sometimes I can't believe what I was seeing there. And I'm not so sure if I really saw it because it was just too surreal, you say, I think, in English. I was sitting in a train and I was looking up in the sky. And as I said, since 2019, when I saw this zigzag moving UFO or whatever it was, I'm like obsessed with the topic and I'm always looking in the sky because I'm hoping that I see something, but I often don't see anything. So, but on this day, I was looking up out of the window of the driving train. So it was driving. We didn't stand anywhere. And I was looking up and I swear, at least I think that's what I saw. I was looking up. I really saw like a silver saucer was hovering over the S-Bahn, the train that I'm taking. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, normally I don't hallucinate. I never hallucinated in my whole life. Never, ever. But this was so real that I started to, I mean, I didn't yell like really loud, but I yelled a little louder. So, and in front of me, there sat a man. He looked at me like, what's wrong with you, girl? I don't know. So, I don't know. And in this moment, I was looking into my bag because I wanted to grab my phone and do a picture or a video of it like I usually do. But then when I was looking up, it was gone. So maybe the train was just moving a bit faster or I don't know what happened, but it wasn't there anymore. And yeah, I don't know if I'm telling you guys the story now, it sounds like really dumb or crazy. I don't know. But I mean, yeah, as I said, I normally don't hallucinate. And it's been a few months ago, I think half of a year or more. So, I mean, people who saw something know that sometimes you rethink all the things that you saw. And after a while, your memories start to fade and you start to think, did I really see that? Was that really? I mean, we all know that officially it's not possible that we could see something like that. Oh, we grow up with that mindset that it can't be that we see something like that, or oh, it must have been a drone or something. But I mean, it was. I'm serious. It looked like one of those pictures you see in the internet, like a silver round shaped saucer UFO. No drone wings or anything was on there, and it was hovering, or I mean maybe flying. I didn't see it. It looked like it didn't move, but I mean the train was moving. So anyways, it was crazy. and another thing, that was awesome or crazy, I don't know. My father, I'm 37 now. And my father is about 76, 77 by now. And my father is from Guatemala. So, and he, since I was a little girl, he always told me about UFOs and the universe and blah, blah, blah. And I always thought that he was just a bit crazy because, as I said, before 2019, I couldn't, this was just not my topic. It didn't interest me. I honestly always thought people who believe in UFOs were just some crazy people. And that's what I always thought about my father. So my parents got divorced, so I didn't grow up with him. And I didn't have a close relationship to him. So, yeah, I don't know. So he was always talking about UFOs, but I never asked really why. And since 2019, when I saw this orb or UFO zigzag thing, I was started to talk to him again. And he said, oh, my God, that's so crazy that you start to see them too. Because when I was 12, he said, or when he was 12, he was living in Guatemala still. And he and his class went outside to for a class trip or anything. And he fell over a tree root. And when he was looking up, he saw three UFOs, like silver UFO things. And he and his whole class saw it, he said. And I mean, this alone is so crazy because back then there were no drones. Yeah. And he said that, like, he says the same things that all people also say, that they just vanished into the air just in a few seconds. And I mean, if your own father tells you that, then you just start to realize, oh my God, this really must be real, what people out there say. Yeah, this is also a crazy story because, I don't know, my father always was connected to UFOs. And yeah, I think he didn't see any of them again, only as a child, when he was a child. But yeah, now I have the feeling that it was meant to be for me to see those things, because my father always told me about UFOs, and now I started to see them by myself. Yeah, that's somehow crazy. That's it. These are my stories.
Good job.
Yes, thank you.
Actually, in fact, the last email I got just before we came on today was from a lad in Guatemala as well.
What did he say? Did he saw something?
It's very vague. He just said he had some encounters.
Mm.
Yeah, Guatemala.
That's cool.
That was about half hour ago.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, cool.
It is a bit of a coincidence.
Yeah, that's really a funny coincidence.
So since before you had your three main experiences, you didn't really have any interest in the subject at all.
No, not at all. Because, why? I don't know. Because, I don't know, I was just a very skeptical person, and I never believed in something like UFOs. I don't know why it was stupid of me, because, I never thought about our history like I do now. Maybe they were on this planet before us, or like the thing with the pyramids, or the whole thing, you know. I never was thought about it more than that what we got taught in school about our human history, you know. But now that I do, everything gets more clearer than before. Do you understand what I mean with that?
I do, and it's usually the same case, you know. People, I mean, there's nothing wrong with anyone being skeptical. I mean, that's fine. I mean, sometimes you always need a little bit of skepticism. But a lot of people which then go on to have a sighting or an experience, then, you know, they're like, wow, you know, this has now opened up a whole new way of thinking. You know, this has opened up new doors for me now. And then, you know, then people go and explore. And, you know, I mean, you've had three quite considerably good sightings. I mean, the first one, I mean, satellites don't zigzag.
No, right?
Yeah, I mean, satellites will stay on a linear path. They don't zigzag. So what did you see?
Yeah, right. Well, what did I see? I mean, and usually satellites, I think at least, they don't get brighter, 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 and then darker, and almost look like it was invisible, you know? But it was still there because it got brighter then again. So I don't think that any satellite can do this. And I mean, no drone or satellite can fly from one point of the sky to a much more far away distance in 1 second. I swear it was just a blink of an eye, just 1 second. And I don't know, could it have been? Yeah, weird, so weird. It must have been an UFO.
Exactly what it is, because, you know, you can identify it. I mean, you're in a dark national area.
Mm-hmm.
You've got amazing visibility. You've got the stars above. You know, you've got no light pollution from the cities whatsoever.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do you know what you should do is you should start up maybe like a Facebook group and have sky watches, because places like that are perfect.
What are sky watches?
A sky watch, just what your friend, you and your friend were doing. So you get organized like a group of people.
Oh.
Yeah. Say from Berlin, and then travel to a dark location, or even a hill. You know, if you've got any really big hills around. And then all you do is you get a few chairs out and have some coffee and just watch the stars, and then see if there's anything else, anything, you know, you can see. I know there's a lot of groups on Facebook, but I don't know of any in Germany.
Yeah, I never looked about it. I maybe have a look. That's a good idea. Yeah, I will do that.
Yeah, I always tell people, if you can't join one, make one. You know, there are plenty of people out there which will do it. I remember back in the 90s, I did this thing on the TV, on the local news, and the idea was just promoting the subject and saying, you know, this is what Nick's doing, get in contact with him. In those days, we didn't have the internet, so it was all on the TV, and people had, I gave like a little phone number at the end, and people can call me with their sightings and stuff. And the part of the TV thing was to have like a mock sky watch. So it was pretend. We weren't actually having a sky watch. It was just there for promotional. And we were doing it on this hill in my area, this really big hill where you can see all the surrounding towns. But we weren't doing it. It was only for promotion. But as it turned out, when we packed up all the video equipment stuff and the news channel and we all drove away, the whole town was completely gridlocked because thousands of people went to this hill for this skywatch, which wasn't happening. And it was on the news after saying, you know, we don't know what's going on, but everywhere is gridlocked. Because people were going up there in their caravans. They were coming from out of the county. People were coming from all over the place. So yeah, that happened.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe I should do that.
My point is, there is a lot of interest in that. So people that, you know, if you have a Skywatch, you know, you'll get loads of people that will come. And it's fun. You know, you get to make a community and you get to meet people which have interests in the same thing. And plus, you know, you're out in the countryside, you know, which is always good.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a good idea. I would do that.
If you do organize a group or anything like that, give me the link and I'll put it on this episode as well, so people can join up.
Oh, people from Germany. Yeah, that's a good idea.
There's a lot of interest in Germany. I have a lot of listeners in Germany.
Great.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of High Strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. The orb that you saw above the lake.
Yes.
How big roughly would you say it was? And how far above the water?
3 meters or so. It wasn't very high in the sky. It was, in the middle of the lake. And, I would say three or four meters over the lake. But, I mean, it was really in the middle of the lake. So it was not very very near to us. But yeah, and how big it was, I don't know. It was so far away. I'm really bad at guessing.
Yeah, that's all right. That's always difficult. You said it had a tail. Which direction was the tail facing?
It appeared and then it flied to the right side. And when it flew to the right side, the tail, maybe it's the wrong vocabulary. It was just a light that was shimmering after it. You know what I mean?
I do, yeah.
Like a light shimmer after it.
So as it was traveling, just had like a shimmer of light that was following close behind.
Yeah, yeah. And when it disappeared, the shimmer also disappeared.
Okay.
It was gone. So, yeah, weird thing. I also don't know what it could have been, because, I mean, there were some sailing boats on the lake, but they were even more further away from this orb. There was really nothing in the near of it, so it couldn't have been a reflection or anything, because I was looking for an explanation after I saw it, after it disappeared. I was, of course, looking for an explanation, what could it have been now, but there was nothing. It was just a ball of light that disappeared again. Crazy, really crazy. I don't know.
I get lots of reports of objects glowing balls of light around like bodies of water, so lakes and rivers. So it's not uncommon to hear accounts like this.
Well, I mean, maybe it was just a natural, natural thing that you sometimes see when, I don't know, maybe the sun was reflecting through the clouds, or I don't know how it could be. Maybe it was just something natural I saw. But I never saw this in 37 years of my life. So I don't know. Maybe it's also just my fantasy, because I wish so badly to see something again, like the UFO I saw on the train. I mean, I know that I saw it, but, you know, sometimes your brain just plays you tricks. I don't know. Maybe I just imagine things and it wasn't there, but looked very real to me, both things, or all three things that I saw.
And when you're on the train, it was just, it looked stationary. When you're on the train and you were moving,
yes.
The train was,
yes,
was in motion, and you could see this object up in the sky. How far above the train did you say it was? So you're looking out of the window.
Maybe. I was looking out of the window and it was right above my window, so not right above my window, but a bit more in the sky, maybe 20 meters or so, approximately, I would guess. It was not far, far, far away, but not very close, you know. I would guess 20 meters, yeah, maybe a bit more. But it was hovering, so I don't know what it was. It was just weird. And I sometimes when I take the same train and drive through my work and then back to my home, I almost every day then I look up, but I don't see it anymore. There was nothing that I could take it for, you know what I mean? Electricity panels or anything that looked almost like a flying UFO. Yeah, I don't know. It was just crazy.
And it was just sitting there. It was just sitting in the sky.
It was, yeah, flying. Hovering, you say, I think, in English? I don't know.
Hovering, yeah.
Hovering, yeah. It didn't move. But, I mean, the train was moving. So, obviously, it also needed to move. Otherwise, I couldn't see it while moving. So, it flew, but I didn't see any wings or anything. Sounds so crazy when I say it, and I can't explain it by myself. Yeah, but I never hallucinated in my life, never. And I mean, it must have been looked so real that as I told you, I was like screaming a bit because I got so surprised what I was seeing, that the man in front of me was a little scared, and he looked like he looked at me like I was gone a little bit crazy, or I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. I think I saw what I saw.
Lucky they didn't make you get off at the next station.
Yeah. I mean, I wish I would, I don't know why I didn't get out and take the train back then, because I don't know, maybe I thought it was gone by then, or yeah, it would be interesting to get out the train and then take another one backwards to see if it's still there or so. But I mean, usually they are flying so fast, I'm sure that it wouldn't be there anymore. Or at least that's what I thought back then.
Yeah, it probably would. Yeah, it probably would have gone if you'd gone back in any case. When your father told you about the objects he saw when he was 12 years old, initially, did you believe him?
He told me always about UFOs and aliens, that he is interested in them, but he never told me that story that he saw three when he was 12. That he told me after. I think I told him after he told me his story. I asked him why he was so obsessed with aliens. I think that's how it went. I think maybe because he thought that I would judge him or so, which I did the whole time. I never judged and told him that I thought that he was crazy or so. But maybe he noticed that I wasn't into aliens and stuff before. So maybe he didn't want to tell me his story when he was 12 and seeing the three UFOs. That could be. I don't know. Yeah.
And now you have an interest in this subject.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I think I always will have it because, yeah, I don't know what happened. Just changed my view of the whole world and changed my view of us humans and everything. So yeah, I'm much more open to a topic than I was before. Yeah, even though I don't know, there are some people who and I mean, I don't know if isn't true or anything, but there are some people who are like getting really lost into it, and they say that they are from another galaxy and, you know, reptile humans on Earth. And I don't know, it's just for me personally, this is getting a bit too much, you know what I mean? I don't know, this is nothing for me, I think. But I mean, who knows, maybe there's truth in those stories too, and I'm just too skeptical to see or accept it. I don't know.
No, you're right. It's fine to be interested in the subject. You can get a little deep, sometimes a little deep. It's the same as conspiracy theories. You can get very deep into a subject, and before you know it, you're very overwhelmed with all the information. Not all the information out there is true. There's some stuff which is fabricated. But there is, you know, there's a lot of information out there. But yeah, no, it's perfectly fine to be skeptical. Always remember that it's always good to have an open mind about the subject. The way I look at it is, if I hear someone's account, I was never there, so I can't say whether it's true or false. But that's the way I look at it. I have an open mind in any case. I won't necessarily believe everything I hear. You know, you just got to be open to the subject. It is very easy to get very lost, very lost in certain elements of the subject.
Yeah. But I mean, how open are you about the topic with friends or colleagues or your family? Are you talking about it, or are you still scared that people judge about you or think that you're crazy?
I've never really cared what people think. In any case, that's never something that's bothered me. I won't necessarily go up to someone and start a conversation about it. It usually happens that people approach me and they say, "Oh, my father or my friend had, you know, this happened to him and whatever, or this paranormal experience." Family-wise, my mother's very open to the paranormal and all that kind of stuff. She always has been. My brothers, I've got three older brothers. None of them really have an interest. One is a little bit more open, the history side of it. The other two are more interested in sport, really. But that's fine. I've never really pushed, you know, anytime they've asked me stuff, I've always been honest and said. But that's normal in families. You know, not everyone will be UFO crazy, so to speak.
Yeah, sure. No, yeah, sure. I mean, I never told my mother because I think she would think about me that I'm crazy or starting to talk like my father. So, and I mean, they got divorced and she hates him. So I think she wouldn't be amused to see her daughter going crazy now too.
Yeah, I can relate to things like that. Wonderful. Daniela, I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing that for our listeners.
Yes, thank you. Have a nice evening.
You are more than welcome.
Bye-bye.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Bye.
That's all for this week. Keep yourselves updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A special thanks to Chris and Daniela for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.